invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. I want to share with you a few minutes today. The first Sunday of each month, as the Holy Spirit allows me, I always try to share something regarding communion because it is so important. And today I want to pick up from where we were at last month, the first Sunday in July, when we were looking at this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning in verse 20, where Paul writes and says, "When you come together, it is not really to eat the Lord's Supper. For when the time comes to eat, each of you goes ahead with your own supper, and one goes hungry and another becomes drunk. What? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." Last month, when we looked at this passage, we talked about the disunity in the church and how Paul wrote and said, when you come together, one of you is a glutton and another one's going hungry and one's getting drunk. You're not discerning the Lord's body. You're speaking of the church. You're not paying attention to one another. You're not showing love for one another. But I also want to look at those same two verses that we emphasized last month, verse 27 and verse 29, where Paul said, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And then in verse 29, he said, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." The King James Version of verse 29 puts it this way, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." That Greek word discerning is the Greek word diakrino, and it is where we get our word discern. And it means to perceive or recognize something, to recognize as distinct or different. And I love how Eugene Peterson in the Message paraphrased verse 29, where he said, "If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequence." So here's the question we should ask ourselves. As we come to the table of the Lord and we take that cup that represents his shed blood and that piece of bread that represents his broken body, do I discern the body of the Lord? Do I recognize it as something distinct and different? Is this something more than something we do the first Sunday of every month? When I come to this altar and I take that bread and I take that cup, do I recognize that it is a symbol of the broken physical body of the Lord and the poured out physical blood of Christ? You may have missed this in the news, but this past Monday, the 31st of July, President Trump awarded the Medal of Honor, the highest honor awarded a member of our military for gallantry and bravery during a battle in Vietnam in 1969. James McLaughlin was a 23-year-old PFC medic who, according to his citation, willingly entered the kill zone 9 separate times to rescue 10 fellow Marines. The morning of May 13, 1969, C Company, 3rd Battalion, 21st Infantry, 196th Light Infantry Brigade, the AmeriCal Division, had come under small arms fire while moving into an area near Tam Key and the New Yon Hill. A group of 89 American soldiers realized that they were under attack by a group of 2,000 North Vietnamese and Viet Cong. During this battle, this 48-hour battle, the enemy shot down 2 helicopters, one which crashed about 100 meters from McLaughlin's position. A squad went out to bring the pilot and the crew back to the company's position. When the squad and crew members reached the company perimeter, a wounded soldier was laying on the ground, too injured to move. His citation read, McLaughlin ran 100 meters in an open field through the crossfire of his company and a charging platoon-sized North Vietnamese army. Upon reaching the wounded soldier, PFC McLaughlin shouldered him and raced back to the company, saving him from being captured or killed. Hours later, his platoon went out to scout an area near the New Yon Hill where they were ambushed. McLaughlin got into a trench, then peered over the edge, spotting 2 American soldiers huddled near a bush, wounded, without weapons. With complete disregard for his life and personal safety, he handed his weapon to a fellow soldier, leaped on the berm of the trench, and ran low to the ground toward the ambush and the 2 Americans. As he was checking them for wounds, a rocket-propelled grenade exploded and peppered him with shrapnel. He pulled the Americans back into the trench, then, ignoring an order to stay put, ran 4 more times into the kill zone to find and rescue more American soldiers. Bleeding extensively, McLaughlin treated the wounded and prepared their evacuation to safety. The Americans were heavily outnumbered by North Vietnamese forces. Knowing a medic would be needed, he refused his evacuation order and remained at the battle site with his fellow soldiers. The next day, another platoon was ambushed as they moved toward New Yon Hill. Their medic was killed, leaving McLaughlin the only medic in the entire company. Through intense battle, McLaughlin was wounded a second time by small arms fire and shrapnel from a rocket-propelled grenade while rendering aid to 2 American soldiers in an open rice paddy. 2 NVA companies and 700 Viet Cong soldiers descended upon their position on 3 different sides, prompting McLaughlin to run into the crossfire multiple times to extract the wounded. His relentless, courageous action inspired and motivated his comrades to fight for their survival. When supplies ran low, McLaughlin volunteered to hold a blinking light in an open area as a marker for a nighttime resupply drop. He remained steadfast while bullets landed all around him and rocket-propelled grenades flew over his prone, exposed body. The next morning, McLaughlin destroyed the rocket-propelled grenade position with a grenade while continuing to fight enemy soldiers and care for wounded American troops. He organized the casualties for extraction when the sun came up. After those soldiers were extracted, he then collapsed from dehydration and total exhaustion. McLaughlin was credited with saving the lives of 10 members of his company. Today, we would call that former soldier a hero. A man who was willing to risk his own life and possibly lose his life to save the lives of others. If we saw him with that Medal of Honor, we would honor him and recognize him and thank him for his service to our country. But I want to take a few minutes and read you some verses of scripture to tell you about someone else who was willing to lay down his life, who not only was willing to lay down his life, but did lay down his life. John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus said this, Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. The book of Galatians, the first chapter, the fourth verse, Paul wrote of Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Ephesians 5, verse 2, Paul said, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, Paul again, speaking of Christ, said this about him, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good deeds. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, John wrote and said, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. And finally, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, John the Revelator wrote, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and released us from our sins by his own blood. We honor men and women, and rightfully so, who serve our country, who are willing to lay down their lives in order that others might be saved, who are willing to make the ultimate sacrifice, to pay the highest price so that others can live. And Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, when you come to take communion and you take the elements, that broken bread in which Jesus said, this is my body broken for you, and you take that cup that represents his blood, and Paul said that Jesus said, this is my blood poured out for you. Paul said, when you take that bread and that cup in your hand, it should do something within us. There should be something that rises up within us that says, thank you. Thank you for laying down your life for me, for dying for me so that I could live. And he said, when we come and we take the elements of communion and we do not discern, we do not perceive, we do not count it as something unique and something different, the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ. He said, when you come and this is just something you do, Paul said, be careful. Be on the alert. Because if you eat that bread and drink that cup without discerning, without perceiving, without recognizing that this is something unique, he said, you eat and you drink judgment upon your own self. And then he closed out that passage and he said, this is why, writing to the church at Corinth, this is why many of you are weak and sick, and some of you have already died, because they did not discern what this is really about. Every first Sunday, we take communion. We have a short sermon about communion and what it means. And we come and we kneel at this altar, and we take that bread that is served us, and we take that cup that is served to us, and we hear the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. If it does not stir something within us, something that says, Christ died for me, I think about those 10 Marines on that morning in that May morning in 1969, who are alive. Many of them, in fact, the article that I read said five of them attended the ceremony in the White House. Those five men were able to stand in the White House and see that because someone said, I'll lay down my life if that's what it takes in order to save my friend, my brother. Jesus came. John said this, he came into his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Jesus came. He said, I'll go out. I'll face the world. I'll face sin. I'll face temptation. I'll face humiliation. I'll face the cross. I'll face the beating. I'll face the mockery. I'll face it all. And I'll die on that cross. And let me tell you, in closing, the book of Revelation says there's going to come a day in which there will be a ceremony unlike anything the White House could ever do. The Bible says there's coming a day in which Jesus Christ is going to be crowned by the Father and is going to be declared the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says that every ruler and every king will cast his crown down at the feet of Jesus and will fall to their knees and say, He is Lord. Jesus died for you and I. And there will come a day in which you and I will see him crowned as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As you come to this altar today and you take these elements, remember, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for me. The ultimate hero, the ultimate Savior. He did for us what no one else could ever do. Father, I want to thank you today for the gift of your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that he was willing to come, willing to die, willing to give his life for us, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, not because we were worthy, but his great grace and his great love sent him to that cross. And as we in a few moments come to take these elements, Lord, may we be reminded Christ died for me. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I'm going to ask